The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and the Week in Comics. This week, we're going to be calling this Indie Week. Indie comics seem to be the name of the game right now. Had a great discussion about that on Twitter, and we get into a little bit of that. I also make a case for why the big two are actually still relevant, and it's a pretty touching case, actually. First thing I thought of when I saw that news report. Speaking of news, we have rumors. That's about it for news. You'll see what I mean by that. And, of course, we have lots of comic books to talk about. We both read the same books again this week. Plus, another home run by Chip Zdarsky. Had a lot of fun with that book. If you don't know what I'm referring to, well, you'll just have to find out. So why don't we just head into the store? John, it's been a long few days since Monday, and I didn't get the word. I'm nervous.
Word is the word?
Did we have a setback?
What is the word?
I've been waiting all week to release the hounds.
You've been waiting all week to release the hounds. And, well, let me tell you.
Are the hounds been penned?
So Friday, I got my third shipment from Lunar, and everything looked great. You know, I didn't check it in until Monday, but I mean, I opened the box and I looked everything over and everything looked to be in great shape and, you know, looked to all be there. So I was like, okay, this is good. This is 3 weeks in a row. Maybe I'll text DJ. And then DC said, hold my beer. And, Friday afternoon, released yet another statement.
Oh,
saying
no.
That they were, because they insist on enforcing this ridiculous Tuesday release date that nobody except DC actually wants, now they're moving FOC to now be due on Sundays instead of Mondays, which is just like another, it's just another wrinkle in the, you know,
that's crazy.
Wrinkle
that's
in the fabric of whatever.
So if you're closed on Mondays, Sundays, I mean.
Right. So like if you're one of them, almost every store owner that only gets to take Sunday off.
Right.
Now you are having to work on an FOC on Sunday. If you want to do it at the last minute, like you can always do it early. You can
right.
do it early with DC too. You know, after Friday afternoon, everything's final and you can do your FOC all weekend. But the benefit of waiting until the last minute is you get every bit of sales data that you can get. You know, like, do I want to lose a Saturday and a Sunday worth of sales to do it on Friday or Saturday
right.
morning or whatever? And then the other issue is, you know, so if you're Diamond, let's say it's Memorial Day, which is on a Monday, which is the day FOC is due. Diamond is closed, right? But you can still do FOC because nobody at Diamond is actually sitting there monitoring you doing FOC. You know, it's all done online and their system
right.
handles it. And you can do it regardless of whether they're open or not. DC has said that in the case of a Monday holiday, FOC is actually due the Thursday prior. So
what?
Not even do you not get Sunday to do it, which Sunday would actually still be not the holiday. It's the day before. But now you have to do it on Thursday. Like, do you know how many times I'm going to forget to do FOC on the Thursday before
a holiday.
A Monday holiday?
Yeah.
And end up not getting the right amount of books? So it's like they just...
They can't get out of their own way.
Right. The hits just keep on coming. And again, it's always a... You can use the language thing, but it's always a chicken shit...
Language!
Friday afternoon announcement so they can like throw the grenade... And then go hide behind a rock, you know, and survey the damage that they just did. You know?
Right. Yeah.
because again, I guarantee you, even in the case of a Monday holiday, nobody's at DC on Sunday either. So if you can do it every other week on Sunday when DC's closed, why can't you do it when the next day is Memorial Day?
I'll tell you why.
Or whatever, you know?
I'll tell you why. The same reason they had you do it on Thursday, because they want somebody to come in, or there's somebody manning that on Monday morning, or a group of people, right? So if Monday's the holiday, they don't want to get it done on Tuesday. They want to get it done on Friday before the weekend. So they're making you do it on Thursday. And it's it's crappy.
I know.
It's crappy all around. It's crappy
even
all
still,
around.
Even still, even with the Tuesday release date, again, that they keep trying to force that nobody wants, I'll reiterate that. FOC is not done. Like, the FOC I do this week isn't for the books that are coming out 3 days from now. They're still done 3 weeks early. So are you telling me that 20 days lead time is not enough? You have to have 21 days lead time to get these things printed? Like, if you're going to inconvenience anybody, inconvenience your printer and tell them, look, you just got to do this one day faster. You know? It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It is so ridiculous that they just keep doing this stuff. And in the long run, it'll end up not being that big of a deal probably. But it irritated me enough this week that I am not ready to
release the hounds.
Forgive DC.
So even it's though, really like, not. Again, it really is just DC now. It sounds like you're kind of over the shipping part. Like the company you're dealing with is doing very well.
Lunar's doing really well now. When I checked everything on Monday, I was short one comic. For the first time in 3 weeks, I had a slight discrepancy, which still, I would say that's 99.9% perfect. But the irritating thing is I emailed them on Monday, my shortage, and I 2 days later, I haven't had a response, which Diamond is actually pretty good about responding to shortages and damages. So,
good God.
So that's a little bit irritating, but I mean, it's not enough. Like, one comic is $2, you know, like in the scheme of things.
Right.
If I never even hear from them again, I'm not going to sweat the $2. But $2. It just makes me wonder what the process is if I was short 30 books, you know, where I'd still be waiting 3 days to hear something. So that is one of the chief complaints I've heard from people that are having trouble with both of these companies, is that the communication back to emails and phones and all that stuff is very slow to non-existent. So we'll see what happens. Like that one book shortage wouldn't have been enough to keep me from, like, I would have started back on DC on Monday.
Right. Well, that happens
even being short
at
one
everywhere
book, because that happens. It happens. You know, I mean, you can't be perfect every week, and I don't expect that. And I'd rather be short one book and have all the rest of them non-damaged than have all my books there, but 20% of them I can't sell because they're damaged.
Right.
So
exactly.
So that was this week. This week in DC.
That's this week in DC. That's we've got a new segment.
I know, right? I have to have a new segment this week in DC.
I've already got the sounder. Wah,
yep.
Wah.
Oh, yep. Wah, wah.
Like, oh,
hold
man.
My beer, guys.
Yeah, that's
it's
all.
Time.
I know you're all excited. It's like, you sit down. You
I pick. Was. I was like, okay, great.
Yeah, back to Stargirl. Can finish out Harley Quinn.
I know, and read some Bat. Like,
and Batman.
Is,
oh my God,
it is actually now, I think, starting to cost me a little bit of sales because I can't talk to people about any of these DC books. Like, people are like, well, how's Deceased? I don't know.
I know. You know?
How's Batman? I don't know. You know? So.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess.
Yeah. Batman's Batman, you know?
Yeah. He's been Batman for 80 years. He's been pretty good. Took a huge dive. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that, the new metal and every, I'm like.
Yeah, I want to read that too. Because again, same thing. How's the new Dark Knight's metal? I guess it's okay. People seem to be buying it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The cover's shiny.
Yeah. So
I don't know. It's like, how's
again,
DC
at some point, like at some point, my pride has to give way to,
yeah,
again, my salesmanship and, you know, doing business. But,
and that's tough for you.
It is tough for me because I'm very stubborn.
You're very stubborn and you're very frugal. This is the perfect storm for you.
It is. It's like, I don't know what to do. Like, my head's spinning because, you know, I'll squeeze a nickel, you know. I won't refrain that. I don't want you to have to use the sounder more than once in a 5-minute interval. But, you know, my mother used to say when I was little, every time I opened my wallet, moths flew out of it. Yep. So it's tough for me because I don't know which ones. I'm in this brutal inner tug of war with myself.
I'm watching you and you're having trouble.
Yeah.
It's tough. I know. You're stubborn. It's like in every way.
But I'm very stubborn and very vindictive, so it's like I think
those kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, they do, I guess. But
you know. But yeah, that's all right. Let's move on to some better news. Let's get right into the indie stuff. We had a great conversation today on Twitter about, you know, people, Dr. Joe and, you know, Mark talking, everybody saying like how they're reading more indie books, obviously the Indie Alley guys. And
they're all in solidarity with me and none of them are reading DC books. So.
Well, it's funny because we all started looking and talking about how like and this took place before the DC thing. It's right. Like you start to look at all the books that you're reading. And I was saying like the only real Marvel book I really look forward to is Daredevil.
Right.
Every month. Other than that, there isn't a must read that I'm like dying to get every month. And for DC, it was just Batman.
Right.
You know, and the way that arc was going. But then there were a couple other things, I think, there that I really liked. But if off the top of my head, it was Batman, Daredevil. But then you go into the indie books and you just start to look at all the different books. There's so many of them. You and I were talking before we got on and we were listing like 12 publishers. And then all the different books in week after week, it's tough to keep up with. But what you realize is what you're really looking forward to is indie books every week.
Yeah. It's true. I've been saying it. Yeah. I mean, we've been saying it for months. Like you said, even before the DC stuff, way before the shutdown, you know, we were reading tons of Boom, tons of Image. You know, AWA is newer, like that was coming on right before the shutdown, but, you know, now it's one of the ones I look forward to reading. Yeah, there's a bunch of good stuff out there.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is, like, AWA has become one of those, like, Boom, where it's not even the title. It's you just see the studio and you grab the books, you know, and it's kind of funny how that's all changed. I hate to say it about Marvel, but I keep going back to that X-Men of last year in House and Powers. We had so much fun with to start, but then it just became so like information laden that it really kind of turned me off to a lot of stuff that I've picked up from Marvel. And then I'm like, it seems to be going in that direction.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a lot, like all of this, the new run off the top, I can't think of it. What is it that's coming out right now? Empire. Yeah. And I just can't get into it. I can't get excited about it like I did War of the Realms.
Yeah. I haven't read a single page of Empire yet, to be honest with you. And I hate to say it, but I agree with you. I don't really want to. Like, I'm not interested in it. You know, I still like Daredevil. I still like Spider-Man. I read the big ones. I read Thor. I like Star Wars. But yeah. I'm not, like, clamoring for them every month. Like, if I stopped reading them, I'm not missing them. Like, right now, I'm 3 weeks behind on reading most of the Marvel stuff. I'm not really missing it, you know. I enjoy it when I read it, but I'm not missing it. But, you know, I look forward to reading, you know, so many indie books, you know, like I'm looking forward to the AWA books and I look forward to the Boom books and, you know, really want to read them when they come out. Even Image, you know, like I really like Adventure Man and, you know, some of the other stuff they do. And yeah, I mean, I'd have a harder time giving up the indie stuff than I would Marvel or DC. Well, I've given up DC already. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I want to read Batman. I really want to read Joker War. I want to read Metal. But, like, I'm okay. You know, I mean, yeah. I'm not frothing at the mouth trying to get to it. So,
yeah. Andrew from Indie Alley, Real Comics on Twitter, is like still pretty loyal to DC, but my Marvel pull is now just two, Immortal Hulk and Daredevil.
Right.
And he said, I also buy way too much indies. But Immortal Hulk was really big, but that's kind of fallen off since.
That's fallen off. Like, I've dropped off of that too since issue 25. I haven't read it. It went downhill for me quite a bit after that. You know, and honestly, that's the problem with it, right? Like, even Spider-Man, I love Spider-Man, you know, second favorite character behind Batman, probably. And I loved the beginning of this run, the Nick Spencer and Ryan Otley stuff. But now it's just, you know, they're on issue 47 or 48 or whatever. And it's just run-of-the-mill Spider-Man stuff again. You know, it's just nothing special. You know, I mean, it's nothing I'm really looking forward to. Like you said, yeah, Daredevil's probably the one that I look forward to the most.
Yeah.
And you know, in the ranking of characters, he's nowhere near, like, he's not in my top five probably, or top 10 even, I don't know, but.
Right.
But I mean, his book is my favorite one to read right now, so.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite overall book. But the thing is, I can't remember who said it, today, but they were like, it's the indie books are a lot more, it's more about one character. Whereas right. Marvel seems to be doing this thing where everybody has to be in the books now. It's like you've got the whole X-Men universe coming together. There's so many characters going on, and it's just harder to follow when you just sit down to read a quick book. In the indie, you can just really get in, relate to a character or two, and you can absorb that a lot easier.
Well, and the other thing, too, especially with, like, Marvel and DC, and again, I don't want this to come off. Like, I really believe, like, anybody that's writing or drawing any of these books for DC, like, none of them are intentionally trying to put out garbage. But, like, DC would be perfectly content to issue a three-issue miniseries of, like, Batman doing his laundry. And people will just buy it. Like, you know what I mean? An indie book, like, you have to work for it.
Right.
You know, like, they're complacent, Marvel and DC, because they're like, we can just put out any 22 pages of hot garbage and people are going to buy it because it's Batman or Spider-Man. Like, if you're an indie book, you got to put some soul into it and some love into it. And not everyone hits. Like, I've talked about a lot of indie books that I didn't love, but I mean, but they weren't phoned in. You know what I mean? Like, every one of them was done with, you know, the passion of these creators that are trying to put these things out. And, you know, again, we don't all like everything, so that's fine. But, you know, like I said, I never feel like any of them are just, like I said, that they're just phoned in and they're just putting out 22 pages of whatever. And you know, also within it, again, because they're indie books and they're smaller companies, like if Marvel puts out a 45 or 50 page comic book, they're charging you $10 for it. Like, right. Wind number one came out, it was 50 pages or whatever, it was $3.99. What's his name? Robert Kirkman put out the last issue of The Walking Dead, it was like 90 pages or something, it was $3.99. You know, they don't gouge you for that stuff.
Right.
You know, it's like they just put it out there and say, and let you have it. You know, hell, Robert Kirkman gives us free Negan Lives, you know, they do all kinds of stuff for us. So.
Yeah, they're working for the fan. I mean,
right, they're working for you, and they're
literally
to put out,
working to get you and for you. I mean, it all goes around. And like Dr. Joe said, he goes, there's some superhero fatigue that occurs. I think indie books really go in all sorts of diverse and interesting directions.
Right.
And I agree. It's like there is some superhero fatigue. There is that. I mean, we're getting it at the movies. We're getting, you know, and then when you get to your books, it's like there's only so many things you can do. And they are getting creative. Marvel and DC are trying. It's like you've got Metal. You've got Empire. You've got, you know, you want to. And I do still enjoy Batman books, but it's there's only so much you can do. And then after reading all that, all of these different indie books just seems so refreshing.
Yep. Well, and like I said, and there's no commitment to them, really. Like, you're... I mean, some there are some long-running indie books. You know, like, Image has Spawn, and, like, Walking Dead was almost 200 issues and stuff. But, I mean, a lot of these books are just minis or small-run series.
Right.
So there's no real... like, there's no learning curve to it. You don't have to worry about coming in, you know, 80 years into a character like you do with Batman or Superman. You don't have that history, or you're not hunkering down to read 100 issues of something. You know, you can get in, read your 5 or 6 issues, absorb the story, love it, and then move on to something else. And you're right, it's just refreshing because... you know, you can just move on and you can just keep consuming so many different things as opposed to sitting down and reading 100 issues of Batman. That's going to take you some time and, you know, you can't read anything else while you're doing it. So.
Right. Yeah, it was Andrew that said it. I just found it. Andrew at Real Comics, host of Indie Alley, says, I think I'm burnt out on the big team stuff. I prefer smaller personal stories. That's why more indies and stuff like Daredevil. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's like that. And what I thought that the Daredevil goes into the same type of idea of what you were just saying, how it's smaller stories, even though Daredevil's going on over a year and a half run right now, but there's been stories within the story.
Right.
And so it didn't seem overwhelming. It's a single character you're following. Characters are popping in and out. I'll get into a little more of that later, but it's stuff like that that, you know, people like Andrew said, you're just burnt out on the big team stuff. And I can't stress enough how much I think that whole X-Men thing and those white pages, I think it burnt out a lot of people. I can't be the only one that feels that way when you turn to that page and go, ah,
no,
it's,
I'm sure not. Cause well, yeah. I feel the same way. So there's at least two of us.
Yeah. Well, that's everyone.
Yep.
In my world.
In our world. That's it.
Let's move on to something that's actually more, and this is what I heard this, I know you've heard this, the story about Bridger, the 6-year-old who saved his little sister from the attack dog. Do you hear that story?
Yep, of course.
So I heard that obviously Chris Evans did his thing, and this is something that I thought right away when I heard this story, and it actually plays into the whole capes and tights and stuff and why we need them. This kid's 6 years old, and he jumped in front of this dog, in front of his sister, to save her from the dog because he wanted to be like Captain America. He wanted to be a superhero. And that was his instinct from just knowing what superheroes were. And that's something that I can't even say I've ever seen an example like that other than myself. Not that I ever jumped in front of everybody, but growing up, we all wanted to be that superhero. You wanted to have that opportunity to do something and be like, I want to be a superhero. I want to do this. This kid actually did it.
Right.
And his instincts took over. And that comes from, you know, reading comics, watching the movies, doing this. It's like, these are great examples that in a little, yeah, you grow up and, you know, maybe outgrow some of these things, but what a great example that is for these kids. And I like I said, I can't ever think of another example where you actually got to see it firsthand, how it played out like that.
Right. Yeah, no, it was a pretty great story, and seeing those pictures of that kid are pretty heartbreaking, you know.
Yeah.
He got pretty beat up himself, but.
Yeah. And well, did you see his little sister next to her and like how small she was and what would have happened to her?
Oh, she might have been dead.
Right. And what was his quote? He's like, if he would rather have died than her.
Yep.
And you're like, what the? It's like a 6-year-old
kid. But the problem is,
kid.
Not to make light of it, but you're 6. Like, the dog can get both of you. Right. You know,
yeah, but so, you got to make every attempt. He doesn't
know
that.
I'm just,
you know?
I'm just saying, I'm trying to inject a little levity into it. It's like, I'll get her too, fool. As soon as I'm done with you.
Hey, you buy time. That's all you can do. At least he didn't throw his sister in front of him.
Right. That would have been my instinct.
Yeah. That's what I was
better
afraid
her than
of.
Me.
That's what I was afraid of. Yeah, but I that's the first thing I thought of when I heard that story and that, you know, what an example these superheroes are to little kids and how it can actually have a positive effect. And then we have this conversation about how we'd rather read about indie books than these superheroes. And it's like, well, there is still a place for it. And it is a great place for little kids to learn, you know.
There is a place for it. And I love it. Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as much as I sound like I'm down on all this stuff right now, I mean, I love superheroes. I love comic books. I love Batman and capes and Spider-Man, you know. I mean, I always will, but, you know, some of the stuff that's happening in the books right now is just not super exciting, you know. So.
No, I know, but it can't always be exciting, John. Speaking of which, we have another comment from Ryan, registered voter and mask wearer of Texas on Twitter. That's his name.
I know, I love that.
I know. Did you see his quote? He quoted us again last week.
I don't think so.
Could be 5 months, could be 17 months. That pretty much sums up the bright side.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I don't know if I would put that on a billboard or a t-shirt, but I kind of like it. And I was like, that would
actually. Get that up on TeePublic.
Yep. Get that up. You know, bright side logo on the front and that quote on the back. And I'm like, that's us. Like, could be 5, could be 17. That's the bright side. I thought that was really funny.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Did you hear the news on Old Guard? Have you seen the reports on how well they're doing?
I know it's in their top 10 most streamed movies ever on Netflix.
Well, the report I read, which came out 2 days ago, it had them speculating that in the first 30 days it would crack the top 10, and it's on pace to drop in at number 6.
Nice.
And that's all, that's projected. So that would be projected at 70. It's projected to do 72 million in the first month, which drops it in at 6. Extraction is number 1. Bird Box, number 2. Spencer Confidential is number 3. Six Underground, 4. Murder Mysteries, 5. Then The Old Guard, and then The Irishman.
Right. 64. So now, to put that into perspective, if only one person in every household watched that movie in the theater and spent $10, that movie does $720 million. That's
really?
Almost what Justice League did. Right? 72 million households, right?
Is that is that the number they're going by? Yeah. But it's right. Also 72 million views. So I was actually talking to Dork Podcast. They put out this top 10 list a week ago, and I questioned them. I'm like, what's that? It was for openings, I think, and it was basically the same list minus The Old Guard, because they hadn't come out yet, I think. And they got back to me and said, actually, that was for like the first, I think it was the 30 days or whatever, but it goes by clicks, like how many times you've played it. So like, and then I made the joke, for instance, like for The Irishman. So if you only watched half of it and then you came back, you would get two views out of that. You know what
right.
I mean? You don't have
right.
to finish the movie.
Right. And, you know, obviously everybody that's watched it on Netflix wouldn't always translate into somebody that would buy a ticket to it.
Right.
But still, on average, 72 million views, if every one of those was one movie ticket,
right?
You know, that's a $700 million movie. You know, like that's Justice League numbers,
right.
Which is insane. You know what I mean?
I've seen really, The Old Guard 3 times already. So
yeah, really pretty successful.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a good barometer to go by because all of the other ones are comparable, with the exception of The Irishman. I don't think many people watch that all the way through in one sitting.
I did.
Did you?
Oh, I watched it all the way through in one sitting because I wasn't coming back to it. So. I didn't like it at all. I thought it was super dull, but I watched it all in one sitting.
Were you awake the whole time?
I can't say that, but...
Got a nice little nap in.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. That I thought that was cool for moving forward. That pretty much guarantees they're going to have the second season.
Yeah. I hope. Like you said, the only thing that would really stand in the way would be getting the actors back. But from what I've seen, like I saw another interview with most of them on, I don't know if it was previews. One of the videos I saved from YouTube for, you know, to run in the store, had them on there talking about it. And again, they all seemed super excited about it. Charlize was really excited about it. So I think they'd come back for a sequel if they asked them to. So
I hope so. I hope so. But like I said, the other day, I think they wrote that in for Charlize to have the opportunity. Like if she doesn't come back, they can still move on. But if she does come back, it obviously all the better.
Right.
What do you got?
Just a couple things. I saw today, it looks like Donald Glover is confirmed to be coming back for some unknown role. Well, not unknown role, because he's going to be Lando.
Is it confirmed?
From what I saw, it was. They just weren't telling what the show was going to be. So whether it's going to be Mandalorian or the Obi-Wan series or something, but you know, we're definitely going to see Donald Glover back as Lando on Disney Plus. So that's pretty cool.
I have rumors of Lando coming back, and it was so this is pretty funny because everybody it made the news, but everything I've seen it was a rumor. And I've got a list here. It's like, so inverse Lando, Disney Plus, Donald Glover, leaked show may explain Solo's big twist. Cinema Blend, there's a new Star Wars rumor. Rumor is Donald Glover returning. CBR, rumor Lando, Donald. NME, Donald Glover could reprise his Solo. Movie Wire, is Donald Glover returning? Complex, fans are hyped about report. It's like comic book, Star Wars, Donald Glover rumored to return. Radio Times, Donald Glover returning. Apparently Radio Times has the report, but they don't.
Well, this article I'm reading is tweeting a confirmation. It's like, we can finally announce that Donald Glover will be reprising his role as Lando in a future Star Wars series. What do you think of this news? I mean, I don't know who the person is, but but I mean, it seems pretty definitive.
Who you don't know who's tweeting it?
I know the name Noah Outlaw, but I don't know who that is. Like, I don't know what his association.
So where did he get the information?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Right.
But again, it's not like a rumor. This says announcement. Like, it's like he's got some official news from somewhere.
Well, that's like, Radio Times says Donald Glover returning as Lando, and then you read the article, and it says he could be. It's a, you know, there are reports that he may be doing this, and it's like,
I don't know, this but seemed more definite, but I don't know. Why are you raining on my parade? It's the only news I have.
Because that was my point. It's like a rumor comes out and everybody turned it into news.
But who says it's a rumor? Like,
I just read you a whole list of people.
But I just read you one that says it's not. So why is yours any more credible than mine? You know, I mean, we don't know.
I've got like six and you don't know that person.
You don't know any of your people either.
I listed all and every single one's like rumor, 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 rumor. And then your guy, nobody knows who that guy is.
He isn't somebody just because I don't know him. I don't know everybody.
No, but it's not like he came out and said it, and it's not like the whatever production company announced it. That's all. It's just my point is all of these rumors are being confirmed by other rumors, and we don't know if it's true. Donald Glover didn't come out and say it yet. That's usually when you get the announcement, when you see Donald Glover says, I will be returning. Because we've been talking about this for a little while. We've heard this rumor before.
I don't know.
What, are you still looking?
I'm looking now to see who this guy is. I mean, he hosts Kessel Run Radio, whatever that is.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows where he heard it? But he's not listing it. You know, if he had heard it from Donald Glover.
Well, I'm not
Glover
clicking on the whole
studio.
Video because I don't want to play the video while we're recording. That's the whole thing.
I know
I could watch the video and see what he has to say about it, but I don't want to do that because we're recording.
It's probably he's probably speculating on all of the things that are being reported by all of the sites, and they're all reporting about a rumor that has been around for a while. That's what I was saying. It's so. Did you see Harry Potter is leaving HBO Max?
I didn't see that, but I mean, I knew they've. I mean, half of the DC stuff is leaving HBO Max too. They've already kind of said that. Series that movies right. are going to rotate in and out, which I just think is ridiculous. Like, are you out of bandwidth at HBO Max? Like, why does anything ever have to leave? You know,
I don't know if they bought. Like, I thought I saw something a while ago. That's why I wanted to bring it up. I thought I did see, like, before they even launched, that they would get Harry Potter for a little while, but then they just bought the rights for a few months, similar to what did Disney Plus do? At Christmas time. Oh, Home Alone, I think, wasn't it? And they got the rights for like a month, and then they had to give the movie back to.
Well, yeah, maybe they don't have the. But I mean, they have the rights to all their DC movies.
Yeah.
And they're rotating those off too. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, Netflix does it too, right? I mean, I guess there is. I was making a joke, but I mean, there is probably a certain amount of like bandwidth considerations they have to worry about. But, like, if I'm HBO Max, like, Netflix, you can rotate whatever you want, but Stranger Things is never coming off of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I was HBO Max, I could rotate out a lot of stuff, but Harry Potter's never leaving.
But why do you have to rotate? Like, Disney Plus isn't rotating anything out.
Well, I just finished saying. I don't know.
Right.
Netflix does it, so there must be a reason why they do it. But my point is, if you had to do it, I'm sure there's a million movies on HBO Max you could rotate out and nobody would ever even know they were gone. Harry Potter wouldn't be one of them.
Right.
You know, that's my point.
Like, what does Netflix rotate out, though? Isn't it other people's content, right? So that's probably contractual.
Right. They change things every month. Something, you know, things go on and go off.
Right.
Literally every month I get a post on Facebook saying what's coming and what's going from Netflix every month. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But like I said, I think that's mostly contractual because
it's not their content. I don't know why they have to do it.
Yeah. Know? Like Disney Plus has said, once it's on there, it stays, with the exception of like they borrowed Home Alone at Christmas time. But once they get it back, I think they get that for good because where is that now? Netflix or something?
Who has? Probably. It? I don't know.
Yeah. And once that contract is up, they've said that like once it's on there, there's no more going away.
I know. So. I would have thought HBO Max would do the same, but we've learned early on that they were not going to, that they were going to rotate things on and off.
Right.
I don't understand the reason why. Like, I don't know why you would ever do that. And it's like, why Harry, like, of all things? Like, I know Harry Potter's got a little bit of a taint on it right now, but still, it's a hugely popular, gigantic franchise that they have. I don't know why they would ever let that leave their streaming service.
Right. You know? Yeah, I don't know. Unless it's a contract. Like, they just got it for the opening, for when it dropped, for when HBO Max dropped, and then they're giving it back, similar to Home Alone. I have no idea. What else you got? Anything?
Just that DC Universe, with another nail in its coffin, has stopped selling annual subscriptions. If you go to their sign up page now,
nice.
literally the only thing you can sign up for is the $7.99 monthly subscription. So, I mean, that I think is the final nail in the coffin.
Right? Did you get your survey?
No. Well, maybe I did. I probably deleted it. I don't know.
Yeah, they sent out I haven't answered it yet. What can we do? What can we do to make things better? Jesus.
Well, I guess treat it like it's not going away. That would be my answer, right? It's like it's already being treated like the redheaded stepchild. Like, if you want to make it better, treat it like it's going to be around, and you know, let us know that it's not going anywhere. But moving all your content onto CW and HBO Max and getting rid of your annual subscription plans are not the way to encourage people to have the feel goods about your service.
Well, it is the only place to see Doom Patrol in 4K.
It's true. You're right. And I guess, and to be fair, there is no annual subscription for Netflix or Hulu either.
Right.
So maybe they're just doing that, you know, to be to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know, but
well,
it just doesn't
you
bode
save
well,
money,
you know?
Though. You save money by doing an annual. You'll get
exactly.
like a month free or something, so they're not doing that anymore.
Right.
I mean, my trash company doesn't do an annual anymore. It doesn't mean they're going out of business.
Right.
I actually like that one. Get a month free.
Yeah, like I said, I just think it's probably the last nail in the coffin for DC Universe. But especially since it was quietly, like it just quietly happened. Like there was no announcement that said that that was happening. It's just if you go to their page, their sign-up
page. How'd you come across it? Did you go to sign up for a year?
No, I just saw it on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I mean, somebody else saw it, and
yeah.
and there was a post about it. But no, I actually need to go on. Well, I guess I don't have to worry about going on and renewing my annual subscription because
right.
they don't do them anymore. So I guess that took care of that for me. But
yep.
So yeah, that is interesting. I just think, like I said, I think they're going away. It doesn't make sense for everything not to just be on HBO Max. So,
no. And I think it should just get folded in to HBO
well, right.
Max.
That's
it
what I mean.
Still
it's
be
not gonna,
called
the content,
DC Universe and have it have its own page.
I don't think the go away.
Right.
It's just going to shift, you know. And it'll just end up being one of those buttons on HBO Max
that's what
that
I mean.
You click on. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you need. I don't know why they don't do that. It's... We've speculated that since before DC Universe even came out.
Oh, I know.
Because
we already knew about HBO Max.
Right. And so. I think that's what hurt DC Universe a lot as well. Everybody was like, I'll just wait for HBO Max.
Right.
And nobody knew what to do with that thing. And, you know, oh, well. All right. Is that all we got?
That is it.
You ready to get into some comics?
Sure.
All right. What do we got coming up this week? What am I going to spend my money on this week?
Not DC. So, the first... Yeah, not DC. Well ironically,
actually,
the first book we're going to talk about is Batman number 95.
And ironically, I bought it, and it's sitting on the shelf with all my other DC.
There you go. So, the 1 in 25 variant is the one we're interested in here. This is going for between $30 and $40. This is a pretty cool Joker cover, so it's going to have a little bit more interest than some of the other ones because of the Joker being on the cover. So yeah, if you can grab one of those for less than $30, it's probably worthwhile. Canto in the Clockwork Fairies one shot came out today. Looks like IDW over promoted this and underprinted it. So a lot of retailers had allocations on this and, you know, they're rushing to do a second printing to fix this. Prices are stable right now at cover price, but the 1 in 25 variant is going for about $30. Wouldn't be surprised to have some people looking for this, though, since Canto, the first series, the number one issue was a little bit sought after. And with this one being short printed a little bit, it may be something that people are looking for. The Free Comic Book Day Spider-Man Venom comic.
Mm-hmm.
This was supposed to be the first appearance of Virus, but since it was delayed and it actually came out after Venom 26, it is now just an early appearance of Virus. But people are still actually looking for this. This is selling on eBay at $4 a pop. So, I mean, for a book that's free, you know.
What percentage markup is that?
Well, I think we paid 30 cents for them, so...
Oh, yeah, but I got it for free.
Yeah, so it was, what, 4,000% or something?
I don't think there's a number. That was a joke.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, you should not have a hard time going and picking one of these up at your local comic book store. I wouldn't rush to eBay to buy them. But if... You know, and again, and I'm not advocating getting a handful of them from your stores, because most stores... like myself, are probably going to limit you to one anyways. But, I mean, if you can get a couple of these, you know, you can get a few bucks out of it. So, the next one is Lords of Empire, Emperor Hulkling, number one. This one here, we're looking at the 1 in 25 Jen Bartel variant. It's going for about $30. Middle West, number 18. This is the final issue of Middle West. Fans of Scotty Young are looking for the Virgin Scotty Young B cover. This is selling for easily $25. So probably a little bit under-ordered, because this was an open-to-order variant. It wasn't like a 1 in 25 or anything. But I guess a lot of stores didn't order these, so they're pretty sought after. From Source Point Press, No Heroin, issue number 1. There's 2 covers for this. There's a regular cover and then the 1 in 5 variant. Both of them are selling for just over $15. This one I had people calling and looking for actually for the last couple of days. This sold out early. The guy that does this book was doing a lot of Facebook and social media marketing on this. The problem with it is it was all during the shutdown. So a lot of stores weren't looking to order new books at the time. Like, I don't have any of these. I didn't order any. I didn't have any come in. So I don't know how many stores were in the same boat, but I had lots of calls for this today. So, there's a lot of books this week, actually. Next one on the list, Power Rangers Ranger Slayer, number 1. There's a 1 per store thank you variant that Boom sent out that's selling for about $35. And the ratio variants are all going for a little bit over ratio, which, again, isn't surprising since the books are getting an $8 cover price. So the 1 in 10 variant is going for, you know, a little bit more than $10, and the 1 in 25 also. Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 2 has a 1 in 25 variant that's selling for between $35 and $40. So another one that's in demand. Strange Academy number 1, the second printing. These are already $16 to $30. Strange Academy number 1, which, you know, hung around on my shelves for a while after that came out.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden sold out and now has a lot of interest. I think the first printing is selling for $35 or more dollars too. I think we talked about it way back when that first came out. You know, tons of first appearances in that book. Almost every character in there, with the exception of Doctor Strange, you know, were all first appearances. So I guess there's a lot of people looking for it. This is the one. Remember I called my shot last week on this? Thor number 2, the third printing. It is selling for anywhere between $10 and $25 right now. That is the bottom of the barrel. Like, it's going to go up and up and up. So if you can grab one of these, it's definitely worth grabbing one.
And you've already put yours away?
And I already put mine away, and I told you so. next on the list. If you didn't get into your store last week and try to reserve it when I said it last week on the show, you deserve not getting one.
Right.
Because so I told you so.
If you guys could see him right now, remember at the beginning of the podcast, we're talking about DC and all the stuff that could go bad, and he was beside himself. He's not a happy camper. He has a big smile on his face right now.
I like being right.
Big, blank, eaten grin.
Yep. Like being
yes, right. I know you like being right. I'm patting you on the back.
I know. Thank you. I won't bask in my glory for too long. Let's move on.
Okay.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends number 25. Look, the 1 in 10 variant from the last issue is selling for between $50 and $100. So I would imagine the 1 in 10 for this issue to do the same. As of when these notes came out, there weren't really any selling. The only one on eBay was listed for $45, but there's no reason to think there's any more of these than there were from the issue 24. So, if you can snap one of these up, it's probably worth getting. Again, probably just due to scarcity more than anything. Unfortunately, the Ninja Turtles don't move a lot of comics these days. So, I don't know a lot of stores that are, it takes me 5 months to order 10 copies of this book. So, if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
Okay, from Scout Comics, we had Vlad Dracul, issue number 1, selling for about $10.
That actually looks good. I grabbed that. I haven't read it today, though. But that
yeah, I haven't
looks
either.
Pretty
but
good.
I'm looking forward to reading that one as well.
It's a thick book, too.
Yeah. All right. And then last but not least, Wind number 2 has the 1 in 25, the Peach Momoko variant. Her stuff's been super hot for the last few months. This is no exception. This book is selling for about $50 right now. And then the one per store variant, the thank you variant for this is being listed for between $40 and $50. So, lots of books this week to look at on the speculator front. And
yes.
That was it. So,
All right. Let's get into, well, we got a few for back issue bonus as well.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, the first listing isn't for a particular book necessarily. It's, basically, Donny Cates' Venom. Basically, anything in this Venom run is on fire right now. You know, the first couple of issues, issue 3 and 4, have been, you know, hot books, is steadily rising for a long time. The last couple of issues, 25 and 26, were also sold out right away and on fire. You know, 26 from last week is easily a $15 book and probably going to go up because it is the first appearance of Virus now, like we mentioned. And then the Venom 25 second printings that came out last week are both going for between $25 and $30. And the regular number 25 first printing is $20. So, like I said, just crazy hot, anything Venom right now. I think, you know, a lot of this is being spurred on even more because of the King in Black announcement that came out a week or two ago, you know, the series that he's got coming out in December, which promises to be, you know, huge in the Venom world. So pick up anything Donny Cates Venom right now is the best advice I could give you.
Cool.
All right, the next one
is not better than Thor number 2.
Not better than Thor number 2. I mean, the third printing. That's the best news you're going to get all year, but but the second best news is going to be to pick up anything Venom by Donny Cates. All right, so yeah, we just talked about this a minute ago, but Strange Academy number 1. Yeah, feels like it came out about 10 years ago now. But yeah, it's selling, like I mentioned, for about $30, between $25 and $30 right now for the first printing. And then the Scotty Young variant cover is selling for about $20. Even issue 2, which just came out 2 weeks ago, is a $10 book now.
How long ago did that come out?
I don't know. January?
Yeah.
I think. January or early February. It's been a while.
I don't know if you noticed, but this COVID thing's really put a damper on things.
It sure has. Yeah, I didn't know until you told me, but but yeah, now that you mention it. All right, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin. We talked about that last week, I believe.
Yeah.
There was an IDW sent out an ash can to retailers for this book, and I guess it was probably to top retailers because I actually didn't get one. So I don't know what the cutoff was. Like I mentioned, I don't order a lot of IDW books, so I'm sure I'm not in their top, their list of top retailers. But anyways, this is seeing a lot of interest, you know, already selling for $30 and will probably go much higher than that. There's a lot of interest for this. Like I said, I just finished talking about the Urban Legend series and, you know, I get 2 subscribers a month for that. I've had a ton of people calling me, asking me to put this Last Ronin on their pull list. You know,
when's the FOC for that? Do you know yet?
August. I think it's August. So yes, I mean, it's still got a little ways to, you know, a little time before it comes out. But I mean, again, this will be a book that I'll probably sell 10 to 15 copies of, which again, doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider I sell 1 to 2 copies normally of Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, that's a huge increase.
This looks good.
Yeah.
That.
And I sent you a preview.
Oh.
Which is just a teaser, really. Didn't show anything, but looks good.
We can talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, looks good.
I really like it.
I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but Faithless 2, issue number 2, The erotic cover for this was misbagged, and basically the book was turned backwards inside the bag, so the cover that's supposed to hide the X-rated cover was just covering the back of the book, and the X-rated cover was on full display through the bag on the front of the book. So of course, you know, Boom sent out a message and told the retailers to destroy them and that they would get replacement copies. Now, unfortunately, this notice came through like on Friday after we'd already sold. You know, again, I didn't put any of these on the shelf, but I don't anyways. Yeah. Normally you can't see anything, but I don't stock them. I have subscribers that ask for them, and I order them for those people. But
explicit cover. You want somebody to have to come up and ask you for that.
Yeah, but my two copies, you know, that I order of this were already picked up anyways by Friday. But again, just the fact that they're an error and that, you know, retailers are being told to destroy them means that everybody that had them listed them on eBay, and they're selling for about $20 a piece right now. Very graphic cover, by the way. So it was definitely not for the faint of heart.
I won't look then.
Yeah, don't look. And then but not least, another book that came out last week is Catwoman number 23. I guess this is the first appearance of Catgirl. I wouldn't know because I'm not reading DC.
This is the first time we've had a Catgirl? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But this is, there's two covers for this, A and B, and they're both selling for $15. So, definitely, one to pick up if you could find it. I still have two copies of the B cover on the shelf for $3.99. I didn't mark them up. So, you probably can find it in a store somewhere. And that's it for back issue.
All right. Hey, quick question before we get to FOC. Did you see anything about, what was it, Batgirl this week?
The comic?
The cover with Joker on it.
I haven't seen any news about it.
Okay.
I had the book in the store, but
Slade and I were talking about it, and he was like, he put it in my, you know, my pile. He's like, this might be a big cover. He's like, check out that cover. And he goes, what do you think when you see that? And I said, he's apologizing? Because he's at, you know, her door.
Right.
And he's got flowers behind his back. And they were speculating that it was, no, this is the opposite view, because in The Killing Joke, you see her answer the door.
Right.
And then he shoots her. And I said, but he's got flowers. And he's like, yeah. And I go, and no gun. And they're like, oh, yeah, look at that. I'm like, what's he going to shoot her with if that's the reverse? So yeah. I didn't know.
I haven't seen anybody talk about it at all. So
if the cover meant anything or anything like that. But we were talking about it today. So
yeah,
it's a pretty cool looking cover, though. It is pretty cool, but I didn't know if it meant anything.
Maybe he's coming to apologize for raping her and shooting her in the spine.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Like, that's something the Joker would do, it's like, you know. But yeah, that's, I remember when we saw,
cause flowers, that's the right, you know, that's the right.
That, well, yeah, I mean, they were colorful flowers. So that, I mean,
whenever I'm raping and stabbing people or shooting people,
right.
I know
if you bring them
flowers
yeah. you're good. Right. So exactly. When my wife and I saw the Joker and she was like, you weren't a little bit sympathetic for him. And I was like, no. And then I told her about The Killing Joke. I was like, that's that character. Right. And she's like, oh. I was like, yeah, not a lot of sympathy for that guy.
No.
But okay, let's get to FOC.
Okay, yeah, another short FOC, so this will be quick. From DC, we have variant covers for Batman number 97, Francesco Mattina. Pretty good looking cover.
Very nice, yeah.
New series.
Riddler in there.
Yeah. Yeah. New series. Actually, the first one, this is just a one-shot, the Death Metal Guidebook number one. There's only one cover for that. And then Batman 3 Jokers number one, there's multiple covers for that. Let me go on another tangent.
Oh, no. No tangents on this
podcast,
John.
Now that we're talking about Batman 3 Jokers. So there's three premium covers for this series that people are going to want to get, but they're gated for retailers to get them. They have to order a minimum of 50 copies of each one of the variants to be able to order them. So to get all three of the special covers for every issue, you have to commit to 150 copies to get them, in addition to the other covers that are available. Now again, it's not like it's a 1 in 50 variant. At 50 copies, I can get 50 of them, but I have to commit to ordering 50 of them. But there's people that want like all six covers or all seven covers or whatever of these books. And no one but the biggest stores are going to be able to get these variant covers. And it's that way for all three issues. So again, I just don't know how you can be more out of touch with what's going on in the retail community right now than DC. Like, just nobody can be more out of touch than these people right now. I just want to say these like three jokers up at the top of DC that are like, making all these decisions. It's like, you know, I envision like, you know, King Henry VIII or whatever sitting on his throne, just like trying to think of like what else he can throw at the people next, you know?
Yeah.
And let them eat cake and, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
it's just so ridiculous that.
Very out of touch.
Yeah.
Like not reading the landscape. Like,
And I mean, I don't know. Like, I can't move 150 copies of those books. There's no way, like, you know, and
most stores can't.
Right. Most stores can't, unless you're like a multi-store operation. You know, there are some big stores out there, don't get me wrong, but I would say the vast majority of comic book stores fall in like the C and D range of, you know, volume levels. Most of us are just eking out a living. We're not, you know, rolling in dough, and they have to order, you know, to gate these books behind that cover. You know, again, I understand like a 1 in 50 variant and you get one of them for whatever. But like, these things aren't going to have any inherent value to them once you get them. You know, they're only going to be, you're only going to sell them for cover price. You know, it's not like you can mark them up to $30 a piece and make your money back. So, and there's no returnability or anything. So, you know, again, I hate to keep just dumping on DC, but they're just not making the right decisions for most stores. And again, this will be a big seller, but I mean, for me, a big seller, I might order 50 copies of this total between all the covers, you know, and that's for me a big seller. You know, I'm never going to move 180 copies or more of these books, you know.
Wish you could.
I wish I could, but I can't.
Of course.
And most stores can't, you know. And they're like, well, you know, partner with your local stores and order them in groups or whatever. It's like, yeah, that works out, right? Like,
well, why would I partner with, why don't I do that with you?
Right, exactly. You're supposed to be my partner.
How about you know? I'll partner with the four stores around me. Ship me my 20 or whatever, you know?
Because then it's like, oh, well, they have to come to me and pick up their copies, and how are they paying me, and, you know, whatever, or I have to go somewhere else and pick these up, and it's like, nobody wants that hassle on a Tuesday when you're trying to get your books ready for the shelf.
Well, God forbid you have to get these in on a Thursday.
Right. Exactly. I didn't remember to bring that up when it first happened, but seeing it on this FOC list brought that back to the top also. So anyway,
the hits
let's move
keep
on
coming.
Yeah, let's move on from DC. Looking at Marvel, there were actually no variant covers that had art available except for some of the higher ratio variants, and I don't usually include those because most stores don't get them anyways. The new series, there's Lords of Empire Swordsman that had two covers, and then Maestro number 1, which had multiple covers. Boom Studios has Power Rangers Dracon New Dawn number 1 with multiple covers. Vault Comics had Shadow Service number one with three covers, and Action Lab had Amalgama Space Zombie Most Wanted number one with multiple covers. And that's it for FOC.
All right. Let's get into another. I think this is a good week for books. So let's get into Checkout. We both read the same two books. I also read Daredevil as well. But why don't you kick it off?
All right. So first book I read from Image Comics is Bliss number one. And this is an 8-issue miniseries. It was written by Sean Lewis, and it had art by Caitlin Yarsky. I don't even know what to think of this book, to be honest with you. This is, I don't know, how do I even want to say it? It's kind of like a multi-generational story, because, like, I found myself confused a little bit. I don't know if you did, on, like, which... There was a lot of talk about fathers and sons and grandfathers, and I found myself not quite knowing which father or son I was following through the story.
Right.
But it kind of starts out with a guy who looks like he's in a trial, and he's defending his father, who has done some crimes. But then you kind of, as you get into the meat of the story, you're actually following the father. And I guess I got a little confused there, because there's a scene where the father is talking to the other father, you know, the grandfather.
Yeah, it's three generations.
Yeah,
of
and
people.
I don't know. I found it a little confusing, but kind of it worked down to the guy you're following. You know, he's trying to make ends meet. You know, he's kind of down on his luck. His son is in the hospital, and you know, it looks like they're forcing him to take the son home because he can't pay his bills or whatever. And that kind of forces him to go underground and try to earn some money doing some unsavory things. When you get there, that's when you realize that the world that you're in isn't quite normal. Because up until that point, all you had seen was just people. But then you get down into like the underground, and the guys that run the city are some kind of animal
creatures.
Like shark, kind of shark-looking
It's an
people.
Underworld existence that, they're weird creatures, but they run.
Right, it looks like they run the city.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was
interesting. It was interesting, but I didn't realize until I got there. It was kind of like the From Dusk Till Dawn thing, where, you know, you don't know until halfway through that it's a vampire movie. But, you know, the guy's kind of, you know, he's not really a bad guy, and you kind of, you know, he doesn't really want to do anything illegal, it seems like,
right.
But he has no choice, right? Because he has to earn money. But they sell it to him because they have a drug called Bliss, and that's what the title is of the book. And Bliss, basically, it erases your recent memories when you take it. So the idea is that he can go out and do all these bad things, and then when he's had enough, they'll just give him the Bliss, and he won't remember the bad things that he did. You know, obviously, I guess you get the idea that he goes on and he starts doing these bad things because...
But you don't know what yet.
You don't know what, but then you go back to the beginning and, you know, his son, who now is grown up and out of the hospital, is defending the father in this court.
Right.
So, you know, you don't really know all the details, of course, because it was just issue one. But yeah, I don't really know how I felt about this. Like, I was a little confused reading it at first until, you know, I kind of figured out what was going on, which that's fine because that happens in a lot of number ones. But I didn't think I didn't love the artwork. And I don't know if I'm super invested in the story. It's an interesting idea though. Like, the drug is interesting. The way you cry the memories out, I guess, when you take the drug, which is, I've never heard of anything like that before. So, that's interesting. I don't know if you have anything else to add to it, but
yeah, actually, I really liked it. I thought the artwork was, reminiscent of Chew which is our other book, but I had read this first and I was like, just the way the figures were drawn, it reminded me a lot of... It's similar, not exactly the same. But I didn't mind the artwork at all. I actually thought there were some nice panels. I thought there were some nice, like, cityscapes.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the underworld, I thought those characters were, they fit the drawing, the art of the humans as well. So, like, right. it all flowed well, the artwork, I mean. But what I thought of this, the entire story is what I wrote. I'm like, it's a dark, depressing story of a father's love and what he'd do for his kid.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, like, I wasn't confused by the multi-generational at all. I was thinking, like, this is, so you have the grandfather, the father, and then the son. And as you alluded to, the son is defending his father, but you're seeing the upbringing that the father had. From his father.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, maybe I'm just stupid. Like,
No.
I mean, it was a little convoluted,
but yeah. It came together at the end. If you just kept, and you did keep reading, but you do get it by the end, which I thought was cool. And then at the end, it was like you have all of this, like what a father would do for his son, but then they wrap this all up with this mystery of what's really going on here. And I thought it was a pretty cool story how they did it. And I was like, it's like that mystery. I'm like, I'm in. I want to know what happened. What did he do? What is this whole world about? The trial that the father is on, that the son is defending him. That's the courtroom or whatever the hell that was. That was weird.
Right, which is also weird because you're not sure if the father's even present while that's happening. It doesn't seem like he was.
Right.
So it's not a traditional court in the sense where, you know, you just have a bunch of lawyers and you have the accused at one table and all of this. You don't even know if the father's still alive when this is going on or, you know, what's happening. You know, like I said, I didn't hate it. You know, I'm definitely intrigued and I'll probably read issue two, but I didn't love it either. You know, so I'm a little indifferent towards it, but
yeah.
But yeah,
I hope I find two. It's one of those things that you go, yeah, I really want to see two, and then you never hear of it again, and be like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Well, right,
but
because
I'm really into it.
I ordered 10 copies of this, and if I don't sell any of them, well, then I won't have number two on the shelf. So,
oh geez,
that's the whole thing. So I hope I have number two to read, but it's going to depend on how well number one does. Because this one's returnable. Yeah. Number two probably isn't. So.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right. You want to move on to Chew number one?
Yeah. So Chew number one, CHU, as opposed to the original series, which is CHEW. This is written by John Layman, and it had art by Dan Boltwood. John Layman wrote the original series. I'm not sure if it's the same artist from the original.
No,
series,
the original though. Artist was Rob Gilroy.
That's right, Rob Gilroy, because he's doing
Farmhand.
Farmhand, yeah, he's doing Farmhand now. Yeah. So this is obviously like a sequel series to Chew, which was a pretty long running series.
Yeah,
I never read any of Chew. I didn't know anything about it. Other than the little bit you told me about it when you were talking about the graphic novel. But it seems like they recapped exactly what you were saying from the graphic novel. They recapped in this when they were talking about Tony Chu and how he's able to, like, eat an apple and, you know, tell what tree it was from and all this stuff. So, but I guess this is where we're meeting his sister. I guess I don't know if the sister ever appeared in of the other series or not, but the sister is so he's a cop and she's obviously a criminal. Not obviously, but you know, if you know comics, it's obvious they're going to be at odds with each other. So yeah, this was interesting. Like I said, I didn't know anything about the world or these characters, but this book did a great job of telling you everything you needed to know. So even if I hadn't heard you talk about it before, everything you needed to know was laid out in this first issue. So there's nothing that you have to go back and read to understand any of this. I think this is interesting. Like, I don't know where this is going necessarily. It's only a five-issue miniseries, so it's not super long. But I liked, you know, kind of like the beginning of this where the crime boss is putting his team together to go out and do this crime. And I guess they all kind of have the same abilities as Tony Chu, because somebody bakes a cake of the building that they're going to rob, and they all eat it so they can learn, you know,
right,
all the details about this building. So I don't understand how all that works, but it seems fun. You know, like I said, it's definitely interesting. I thought the setup for the first issue was pretty good. You know, I didn't see it right away that she was, you know, she was going to be this, his sister. But I picked up on it with like by about like the 20th page, right before the end. I figured it out. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I have a different take. I liked the book, but it started slow for me because I've read Chu, and I like Chu. And the way this started, I was just like, this is so – I'm like, what am I doing? I almost put it down.
Yeah.
Because until we got to that part where they introduced Tony, which I thought was great, because exactly like you said, I was like, okay, here we go. At least they're doing – you know, this is going to be good for people that haven't read Chu, and it's a – you know, it's a reintroduction. That was fine, but that was like halfway through the book.
Mm-hmm.
So the first half of the book for me, I felt like this was like Chu's version of the Reservoir Dogs. It was a bunch of stereotypical bad guys sitting around. Even their names are all like stereotypical, you know?
Well, like, right. It was just like I thought of Reservoir Dogs too when I was reading it, because, you know, Mr. Pink, like they're all like, you know, you're not going to use your names. You're all going to have code names. And I was like, oh, well, that's just like Reservoir Dogs.
Right. And I thought it was too stereotypical. It was just too, like, you know, just too cliche. And I was like, this isn't very good. I don't get this. But then after the first half, you know, once you get through all of that, it was, oh, okay, now it's really ramping up. And you find out the new character. You find out who she is. And it goes on from there. And there's even a little bit of confusion there where he knows right away, like, uh-oh, something's going on, and we don't know yet.
Right.
So I was really excited for that. By the end of the book, I was like, oh, okay, this is really good. I'm really excited for this series. But I got to tell you, as a, you know, a Chu fan, the beginning of it, I was like, this isn't Chu. I'm like, I kept flipping back to the front, and I'm like, no, yep, it's the same author. I'm like, right. I was like, this, I didn't like it at first, but I'm glad I stuck with it, but I think it's glad to hear, like, you, like, all right, there was nothing for you to get through. You thought that was just normal, and then you get that whole introduction, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And you didn't get a chance to read Daredevil, huh?
No, I didn't.
Oh, the world's a-changing.
Yeah.
The world is a-changing. Really good. It's this run is just amazing. And I can't believe it's been, what did it start in January last year or something like that? January, February?
Yeah. Cause I think,
well, we're on 21 now. So
yeah, I'm trying to think. Cause I know, I thought January was kind of like when the death of Daredevil was coming out.
Yeah.
It came afterwards, but I'm not 100% sure.
But yeah, well, we're on 21. That's almost 2 years. Cause it's monthly.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. It had to be earlier than that, because hell, we missed a month with the shutdown, so.
Yeah. Wow. But anyways, what a run. And I was hoping you had read it, because there's stuff to talk about. We could have had a kryptonite. Could have locked the door and had some good talk here, because I know you're going to love this one.
Yeah, well, you know, not to call you out, but texting me at 7:30 isn't the time to find out if I've read it or not.
I'm not saying you had to read it. I was just hoping you had during the day.
I need more. If I would have known at 4, I would have read it, and we could have talked about it. So,
wait, if you were paying attention to Twitter, I said it's a first day read.
I don't pay attention to Twitter.
yeah, it's the world's changing big time. It's the stuff that's going on. With, if you've read the last one, where he's, you know, I mean, he's looking to get arrested. He's looking to pay for his crimes. He's looking. Right. They do a really good twist in it that I didn't really see coming. And there's a nice another nice appearance in there. It's just a great book, and it's like I said, every month you can't. I just look forward to it every month. I can't wait for it. I also read the free comic book day Bloodshot with it was more XO than it was Bloodshot, though. It had like maybe three or four pages of Bloodshot, and it was, you know, basically the run that they're doing right now, which is pretty much a take on the movie, same characters with what Willard and him, and but then the XO, pretty good. It's, you know, it was okay.
Speaking of missing books, I'd forgotten all about it. Did XO number 2 ever come out? I don't think so. I really liked that first issue of that series.
Yeah.
And I don't think the second one's come out yet.
No, I don't think it did.
Going on with that.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that was. I really enjoyed that book.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be asking. I should be asking you that.
I know, but I don't. I haven't seen it, and I haven't seen it come up on order. But I'd kind of forgotten about it, you know.
Right, right.
Until you just mentioned it, because it wasn't one I normally would read a lot. But I don't even think I've seen it come up for order yet.
All right. All right. Well, is that it for this week?
I think so.
All right. All righty then. Hey, let's keep this conversation going. You can hit us up on Twitter at @brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And on your podcast provider, click on us, find us wherever we're on a bunch of them. And please rate, review, and subscribe. Really appreciate it, because our marketing budget went kaputs.
Yeah.
It was funded by DC.
That's right. We were on the co-op program.
So that'll do it for this week. We will be back on Monday with Warrior Nun from Netflix.
Yes, we will.
And that's going to be an interesting conversation, I think. Should be fun.
Well, we'll see. Better be all on you, because I don't even remember it.
Oh, jeez.
Dude, I watched that like 3 weeks ago. Do you know how many shows I've watched in between?
Oh,
I can't be expected to remember.
It's a nun.
Yeah.
With,
oh, I mean, I get that.
That was a warrior.
I know the premise.
It's in the title.
Yeah. I just don't know all. I just don't remember all the details. We'll have to see what comes back to me.
Yeah. This could be contentious.
Oh, jeez.
Tune in on Monday.
Well, there's no reason to now. I already know.
Well, you don't have to tune in. All right. I'm going to get out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday.
Take care, everyone.